Good morning, sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, children of God. Now, our readings this morning seem to focus on hospitality, and I would be remiss at a church that prides itself on hospitality to neglect to mention that. The first lesson comes from Genesis, and it's Abraham welcoming these three strangers into his home who he knows are a little bit more than just strangers. In fact, they're come bearing an important message to them about his wife, Sarah, and a miracle that's about to take place. And here, Martha is focused on welcoming Jesus into her home, focused on that beyond all other things. Now, balance is something that we can all stand to merit from. If we don't have balance in our lives, then we fall off. You know, it's like riding a bicycle. If you don't have balance, then you go one way or the other, and you wind up smashing your face either side. Now, I have to mention that I've been taking a motorcycle safety course over the last few days, and I'll be going again for the final course this afternoon, and balance is a very important thing to have when you're riding a motorcycle. Now, it's hard to find sometimes, though, in life, particularly when the world is giving you a series of unexpected events that shift and take you to places that you do not expect to go. When, then, do we have time to sit and process everything that God or that the world has thrown at us over the last few days or weeks or months, as it can happen sometimes? When our lives go from one busy moment to another, when do we experience this retreat needed to rest from the busyness, creating those moments of silence to listen for God's wisdom to help us understand the massive barrage of information and signals that we receive from all directions, from everywhere? Now, Jesus is traveling, as he does through much of Luke, traveling, and he arrives at a certain village. Now, we assume that this is the same Mary and Martha that we find in John. And that village, that certain village, is in fact Bethany, if that is the same Mary and Martha, which there's no reason to believe that it's not. But it's their first appearance in Luke, and he's just introducing them to us. And Martha is a preeminent hostess. She excels at being a hostess. She prides herself at being a hostess. And she welcomes this unexpected Jesus because we didn't have text messaging back in those days. You didn't say, "I'll be over in 30 minutes. Maybe there was a messenger that came forward, but, you know, I like to think that Jesus just popped in, as the Lord does from time to time in our lives. And she welcomes the unexpected Jesus into her home and sets about making all things right, preparing for him, making him feel welcome, making sure everything's clean and the table is set and all things are kosher, that his stay in her home would be one that he feels absolutely welcomed, and that he sees her appreciation of him vis-a-vis all the busy work that she does for him. And all this time, Martha lives with her sister Mary, who just brings him in and keeps him company and occupied. And Martha begins to resent her sister because it's Martha doing all the work. And instead of helping her, Mary decides instead to hang out with the guest, listening to him and generally remaining restful. And so who knows what's passing through Martha's head when she approaches Jesus to ask him or to tell him to ask her sister to help her out. Is this such a common occurrence in Martha and Mary's life that Martha feels frustrated that she can't directly ask Mary to help her out? Because every time she asks Mary to help her out, Mary always has some kind of excuse. Has Mary tuned her sister's nagging out? Well, I don't know if Martha nags. That's not might not be entirely fair to her, but when she has to go around to Jesus and say, Mary, help her out. I mean, to ask Mary to help her out. Then, you know, maybe Martha gets a little excited, you know, maybe a little pushy. And so the depths of the implication that take place in this household are numerous. Just in this short passage, we can like imagine all these wonderful and interesting and things about Mary and Martha, that their relationship is not, you know, always perfect. But Jesus has the simplest answer for her, that Martha frets and distracts herself with all these busy things, but the guest has already arrived. The Lord is within the house. And so why should Jesus tell Mary to get up and help Martha with the work when, after all, Martha's already been doing all the work? Why does Mary need to help out? And Martha has made it her life's purpose to see to the laundry, the kitchen, the dishwashing, the sweeping, and what has she left for Mary to do anyway? Now, I had a very good friend that was living with Michael and me a few months, about, you know, just over a year ago, for about a year and a half, Jed. And Jed has what he himself refers to as OCD. And if you don't know what OCD stands for the two or three of you that might not know what that is, it's obsessive compulsive disorder. He's self-diagnosed, so. And mind you, Michael and I were not super rigid in our cleaning habits. Are far from people who are comfortable living in pigsties. We have our limits ourselves. But Jed, our limits are here. And Jed's limits way up here. And Jed can be bothered by even the tiniest of stains, and what most of us would see as a few crumbs of food on the floor, Jed sees as a crawling, seething mass of disgusting garbage that must be eliminated. And so when he would get into a cleaning frenzy in the apartment that we shared in North Oakland, it was not a place that I preferred to be at those times. Even in the comfort of my desk, my little bubble there at the desk, while he's all around me doing all this other stuff, I wanted, not exactly a place I wanted to be around. And by and large, the benefits that we received from this relationship were that our bathroom and kitchen were often spotless. Our carpeting was continuously free of the silt and the day's dust settle. But there were drawbacks, of course. And so the work that our friend did was not entirely without a modicum of guilt. There were times that he himself expressed frustration that he felt like he was the only one contributing to the housework. And my retort was often that his standards were too high, and if he just waited a couple more days, then we would have been unable to live in the mess that was around us. And the dirt and the grime would have been past our breaking points as well. But that wouldn't have flied, or it never actually flied every time I mentioned it. It was not a good thing to bring up in the conversation after he was sweating and, you know, running around and all the things that he was doing. And it was often better just to be silent and just say thank you for what you do and express our appreciation for him and try to find opportunities to contribute on those few occasions that I could. Now, I'm not saying I was following the better part as Mary was by any means. You know, usually I was avoiding by going on Facebook or maybe playing some games online or maybe watching a video. On most days, even in our home, I am, even with just me and Michael, I'm not the most vital contributor to housekeeping. But that doesn't mean I'm sitting by contemplating Jesus while Michael's dusting and sweeping the floor around me. I did, during our time with Jed, however, learn to appreciate a greater standard of cleanliness in the bathroom and the kitchen and try to maintain a higher standard. But even when he came to visit us recently, as he did last weekend, he decided on the last day of our house that he would clean our kitchen. And he made it shine, and we were very thankful. And he didn't even complain about it this time. So, but it occurs to me, with people like Jed and some other people that I've known, that they find meditation in doing the house cleaning. They find their spirituality engaged when they're ironing, or when they're doing laundry, or when they're washing dishes. And so it's not busyness and distraction that they are experiencing, but a whole new level of contemplation. And then the tasks are no longer distracting, and they're more centering. And it becomes easier to talk to God and to listen for the messages that God has to say for us. And so a balanced life is vital for each and every one of us. And while the hospitable act is important to show our house guests we appreciate them by making our homes as welcoming and inviting places as we possibly can, if we're doing it to get their appreciation of it, we might need to investigate our rationale for doing it. And certainly, it might be sometimes better to show our appreciation by sitting with our guests and listening to them and just enjoying them in conversation. And so Mary's unwavering attention to Jesus is, in fact, the difference that was to be made with that particular day. Now, while Martha's tasks are ever going, and they seem to be endless, even while Jesus is right there in the midst of them, in their home, someone has to pay attention to the guest, be they a regular weary traveler or the Lord Jesus in their midst. But remember, sisters and brothers, Jesus doesn't think any less of Martha for the work that she has put forward. All he's doing is telling her, come sit down with us. Relax. God is here. She does her Lord Jesus' service with all the work that she does around the house and by being a wonderful hostess. And there is indeed time in our daily lives of tasks and business that we need to do in order to maintain healthy and productive lives. There is also a time for rest and relaxation, for quiet and contemplation, that we may spend in intentional conversations with God to recharge, refuel, and revitalize ourselves. In the gift of faith that God has provided us, and in the grace we receive by God's glorious resurrection, he has chosen us as his people. And in doing so, God seeks us out to spend time with us. And in doing so, and the good news is that God is available to us at any moment of any day that we want to call on him, to listen to us, to guide us, and remind us that we are beloved, my sisters and brothers. And we have a place in God's home, invited, welcome, and waiting for us. Amen.